Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
All right, chugging on in to hour two. This kind of, the music kind of makes me feel like we're on a train somewhere. Just
dun, dun, NFL dun, films dun, music, dun, man.
Dun, 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 dun.
Yeah.
All right, Charlie.
It's classic stuff.
What's I'm up? Jeff Nowak. He's Charlie. This is our Draft First Take show. You can tell we're a little tired. My coffee ran out. I need to go get some more. But this is brought to you by TrainSouth.com. And we're going, getting you ready for rounds 4 through 7, day 3 of the draft.
Yes, sir.
You know, it's always tough. We get to this third day, and you know, the first two days kind of feel like there's some rhyme or reason to it, especially with the coverage on TV. And then you get into day 3, it's like half the picture made during commercial breaks.
Yeah.
And you know, so let's just get you ready. We're gonna spend this hour. We spent last hour kind of talking about the first round. This hour, we're gonna spend more time talking about the upcoming round, some of the players we're interested in. We're also gonna hear from Dennis Allen. Kind of his recap of what happened. You know, he kind of shot down that rumor that the Saints tried to trade up for Michael Penix. I always thought it was kind of a strange one.
Yeah.
I have some.
John Hendricks had a good tweet about that.
Yeah, he had it early in the day that it was kind of a misnomer.
Was, right.
I have some thoughts on it, but I want to hear from DA first, and then we can dive into it. So let's kind of set you up. So the Saints did make a trade yesterday.
Yes.
They round one, they drafted Taliese Fuanga. They stayed at number 14 overall, took the tackle out of Oregon State, filled that need. It was kind of just like a meat and potatoes type situation, right? You got the guy that you probably targeted, or at least the position you targeted, and you should feel good about that. Round two, you sat with 45, but you traded up to 41. You sent picks 165 and 190, one of your fifth rounders and a sixth rounder, to the Packers, get up to 41, draft Alabama quarterback Kool-Aid McKinstry. Which, you know, it's an exciting pick. It's a good value on that guy dealing with a foot injury, and I think that probably dipped his draft stock a little bit anytime you have a medical red flag. But the Saints still do have 5 picks remaining on day 3. They have 3 fifth-rounders. That's
150.
There you go.
170 and 175. That's all in the fifth round.
Yep, the 150 was their original pick. The other two are comp picks.
Yep, correct.
Then they have a sixth-rounder.
199 from the Eagles.
Yep.
And then they have a seventh rounder, which is 239 from the Rams through the Broncos. So, you know, it gets all around. So, once again, 5 picks today. They could package a couple of those to move up into the fourth round potentially. Deuce talked a little bit about that last night. We have the audio there about, you know, trading up with a team that's already made a bunch of selections. He highlighted a couple different squads that have made some early on picks. So
why don't we hear that right now? Yeah. Coleman, do you have that?
For me, I'm probably trying to get mid-fourth round. If I get mid-fourth round, I mean, because if you get in that top 7, top 8 range, depending on the team. I mean, because a team like, let's just say Philadelphia, or a team like Arizona that has picked numerous players.
Right.
I mean, let's be honest, man. How many playmakers do you still think that you need at that range that are actually going to make the team? Because here's the other thing. If you're picking that many players, how many of those players are actually going to make the team? Think about it. How many of those players are actually going to make the team? I've got 9 picks. Am I carrying 9 rookies that I signed? And what about my rookie free agents? 1 or 2 of them you expect. So now I've got 11 rookies.
Yeah, I agree with that. I agree with
you. It's a fair point.
And I do think when you get to this point in the draft, a lot of it, you could spend all day looking at like the trade value chart and the pick value chart and saying like, well, why would you make this trade if it's this or this and this? A lot of times those kind of environmental factors around it of like, yeah, the Cardinals made 7 picks already. How many picks do they actually anticipate making to the point that you don't want to cut your rookies.
Arizona's kind of a special case in a sense because yeah. they are completely overhauling that roster. Like they saw what they got from Jonathan Gannon in his first year as head coach, the former DC of the Philadelphia Eagles. Gannon got a lot out of a not very talented team. Like, you look at their record, and it's terrible. There's a reason that they're picking top five.
Yeah.
But a lot of games they were really competitive in. They were, you know, they beat the Cowboys. You remember that game last year, right? So it's a couple examples of like that where they were overmatched.
They should have beat the Giants.
Yes, they were overmatched talent-wise, but they played, you know, better technical football than other teams.
I mean, Josh Dobbs played well enough for them that the Vikings were like, let's try it out.
The Pastronaut.
The Pastronaut.
Really, yeah, so anyways.
You know, the only gripe I'll take with the logic there is, so if your goal is to not trade future picks, then a team like the Cardinals probably wouldn't make sense, because if the logic is they've already made
they
seven picks,
multiple
they're not
rounders.
Taking your fifth rounders.
Exactly.
Like, so you almost wonder if a team like the Chiefs or a team, you know, even the Panthers even, like a team that didn't have a first rounder that maybe just wants to accumulate some, like a team that didn't have a ton of picks that wants to get a few more darts up on the board later and will be like, yeah, okay, we'll lose this fifth, get a couple sixths or fifth. I don't know. Like, that, to me, that would make sense as well. So I think you kind of have to look at it a couple different ways.
He also highlighted the Eagles, and the Eagles are at a pretty interesting spot right now. They're at 120.
And they traded up to take somebody. To take Cooper DeJean.
Yeah, with the Arizona Cardinals, the team that he had mentioned, they're at 104. So that is a premium fourth-round pick. Fourth pick off the board. So it's probably going to be pretty expensive to move all the way up there. But if you're looking at kind of the middle of the fourth round, like you're looking maybe in those 120 range. Once again, the fourth round goes from 104 all the way to 135. So like the late teens, early 20s is smack dab in the middle. That was kind of the area that he had targeted. Speaking of areas to target, we also had some good audio from Mike Dettillier and Deuce last night about positions that the Saints should target in this day three of the NFL draft. Coleman, let's hit it.
I want a center guard and I want a safety.
For me, you need a running back. I'm not 100% sold that you have enough overall depth yet, running back-wise. And then the other position, and I don't want it to be a true project, would be a tight end. I think if you could find a guy that
the
can
right
actually,
one.
Yeah, the right tight end. If it's got to be a project, then I would probably prefer go get some type of defensive tackle and or offensive line, you know, particularly interior.
So Mike was pretty quick with his response about the safety, but he also mentioned as far as tight end that Deuce was talking about, Jared Wiley from TCU is number 57 on Mike's big board. As far as safeties go, a lot of them did go in day two, kind of like we anticipated. There was kind of a little mini run on them in the third round, specifically kind of late second round into the third round. Jaden Hicks from Washington State is his biggest, one of his best players left on his big board at 52. The safety position, if you want to go there, I think he's probably going to be a fourth round selection as well. So a couple of names to keep in a little bit of an eye on there as far as best players available via his big board. And still kind of a, you know, I guess I would ask you this, Jeff, after three rounds, were there any players that surprised you weren't pick?
Yeah. You know, it's tough. Cause yeah, there's a few, right. There's a few players, TJ Tampa,
yeah.
You know, in part because it's like, how do the Bucks not take that layup opportunity?
Dude, they had two picks, too, at the end of the third round. They had 89 and 92, and they didn't go TJ Tampa, which is a little bit unfortunate. I know Steve was really campaigning for that on air. It was funny. But one guy that, you know, just sticks out like a sore thumb via Mike's big board, Troy Franklin, the wide receiver from Oregon, is number 33. And I know that everyone's got a different board, so don't take that as gospel necessarily. But he's still available in the fourth round. And I know that Troy Franklin, you know, Saints fans will, oh man, that great value pick. Troy Franklin is kind of like the speedster receiver. I've seen him kind of compared to like Kenny Stills, you know, so like, you know what you're getting if you know, you do in fact do that. We talked about the receiver position and how there's a specific need for the Saints at receiver. They just won't take any receiver. They have to get a guy that fits a certain role for them. Jared Wiley's an interesting one. Mike talked a little bit about him last night, kind of the big body, kind of maybe a little bit raw tight end prospect. But you definitely have something there.
I got one here. You know, so Deuce talked about tight ends. There's only been three tight ends taken. So yeah. Brock Bowers in the first round. Ben Sinnott in the second round, which is high.
You going with Jatavion Sanders?
Yeah, so Tip Texas? Ryman also went. I think he's the guy who doesn't believe in birds, which is ironic because he got drafted to the Cardinals. But yeah, Datavian Sanders, I know Mike had him as a potential second round pick. He was probably a second tight end ranked.
Yes, a lot of people had Datavian Sanders as the second best tight end. Now, this was the Brock Bowers draft. Like, it wasn't last year's tight end.
Oh, yeah, it's a big drop.
It was a huge drop.
I was surprised we saw a tight end on day two at all, and we had two of them, but I was surprised one of them wasn't Sanders.
Yeah, so last year you had an elite tight end class where a bunch of guys went in the first three rounds, and a lot of them have already panned out and had really strong rookie seasons. Sam Laporta comes to mind. Dalton Kincaid comes to mind. Michael Mayer, you know, Luke Musgrave, all these really solid young rookie tight ends. They were all drafted within the first two to three rounds. So you're looking at this draft, a tight end, not nearly as strong or deep. You had Brock Bowers, who went 13th overall to the Raiders in the first round. And then there was a drop off. You maybe expected a couple guys to go day two, if that. And then, you know, day three was where a majority of these guys would get picked. Mike thought that Jared Wiley was going to be one of those guys, potentially second, maybe third off the board at the tight end position. Ends up being Ben Sinnott from Kansas State, correct? So, yeah, you're looking at, you know, a couple guys still available. Jared Wiley and Jatavian Sanders are two of those tight ends that are still on the board that I would imagine will be fourth round, if not early fifth round picks. So keep an eye on them.
The really interesting position to me that's like, you know, it's basically been mine. You mentioned Troy Franklin's still on the board, but man, there have been so many receivers.
14,
taken.
I think.
Yes, Luke McCaffrey was the last one off the board. It was surprising to me. Went in the third round. Jalen McMillan, Roman Wilson, Jermaine Burton, Malachi Corley, Adonai Mitchell, Jalen Polk, Ladd McConkey, Keon Coleman all went in the second round. Keon Coleman was the first pick off the board.
Yeah, so you had seven go off the board.
Yeah.
And once again, 10, so we said 14 have been taken. 10 of those were in the top 37. 10 of the top 37 picks were wide receivers.
Yeah.
So think about that. So seven go in the first round, and then as you're mentioning, Keon Coleman from Florida State goes to Buffalo. The Chargers trade up and get Ladd McConkey, wide receiver from Georgia. A little bit later on in the board, the Patriots take Jalen Polk, the wide receiver from Washington. So, yeah, super, super good receiver class. There's still a couple talented guys on there. You know, a couple guys slipped, like A.D. Mitchell. We talked about it in the first hour. It was a little bit surprising. He fell all the way to 52 where the Colts went up and scooped him up. And then, you know, a few more guys are going to be taken today. Malachi Corley went the first pick of the third round. The Jets trade up to go get him, the wide receiver from Western Kentucky.
Yep.
But there's still talent, you know, at the receiver position. So if you do want to get a day three receiver, it's not quite out of the question. I think y'all asked DA about that as well, where he was just like, yeah, typically there's 25-ish receivers taken. So we're kind of getting to the back end of that. But with such a talented receiver class, you know, we'll see how many actually get selected from rounds one through seven.
Yeah, the other interesting position to me is guard, and you know, you if you
give us a run on them, man.
Well, I mean, there's only been five guards taken, and that includes Troy Fatanu. So if you don't include Troy Fatanu, that's four, and so you have some interesting options left, and it's a position that I think the Saints, we saw last year, they traded up to the top of the first round to get a guard. I wouldn't be surprised if they do something like that again, and you look at. Yeah, you know, Christian Mahogany is a guy that keeps coming back, and, you know, the Saints had him in for a visit, kid out of Boston College, you know, probably a developmental guy, maybe not ready to start right away, but a lot of good traits there. So I would be surprised if we get out of day three without them beefing up the interior line, particularly,
agreed.
You know, they knew James Hurst was retiring, so they had time to kind of set that board and establish some real targets at the interior line. So I'd be surprised if you don't see that early on today.
I'm interested to see what happens at the running back position because, once again, I think there's only been four taken so far throughout the first three rounds. And this wasn't known as like a super strong running back class necessarily, but there are some intriguing prospects on day three, and we'll see if there's kind of the run on them, whether that be the fourth, fifth, or even sixth-ish round.
Blake Watson out of Memphis is a guy I've had I've heard his name a lot.
He's got super, super athletic tools. So, I mean, I think that from what I've read about him, he's got some, like, vision kind of problems potentially as far as, you know, what he sees out of the backfield.
LASIK.
Well, not necessarily, like, actual eyes. Yeah, no, I understand what you're saying. But super, super athletic, kind of really impressed with his numbers. So, yeah, he's going to be a guy that gets taken pretty early, day three, too.
All right, this is WWL Draft First Take brought to you by DrainSouth.com. We're going to hit the break, come back with some audio from Dennis Allen recapping the second and third rounds, why the Saints didn't make a trade, where they didn't even try to make a trade, and a lot more. I'm Jeff Nowak. He's Charlie Long. Keep it locked on WWL.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey. T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.